Good morning. It is 9:05 a.m. Wednesday, April 23rd, 2014. I will call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order. Welcome all. We will begin with our invocation, and then Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Last week was an important week in our religious calendar. Passover came, and we appreciate Rabbi Asher Knight from Temple Emmanuel to come and give us the invocation. He grew up in Denver and graduated from University of Denver in 2001. And with a concentration in Middle East issues. He was ordained in 2007 at the Cincinnati campus of Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion. Rabbi Knight received multiple awards for his leadership in the seminary's youth programming department. Prior to joining Temple Emmanuel in 2007, Rabbi Knight served as rabbinical intern at Rockdale Temple in Cincinnati for 2 years, where his work encompassed a wide range of rabbinic responsibilities and engagement with the congregants of all ages. Rabbi Knight has extensive training experience in pastoral education, including the summer he spent as chaplain at Children's Medical Center right here in Dallas. Thank you for serving the citizens of Dallas. Thank you for being here to give us our invocation, Rabbi Knight. All stand.
Let us pray. Mekor HaChaim, God that we call source of life, you guide and inspire our hearts and minds, and we are grateful for this city. We are grateful for inspired leadership, thankful for the city's dedicated staff, and the citizens that make our city vibrant, forward-thinking, cultured, and family and faith-centered. God, help us to make sacred connections with one another, with people who look similar to us, with people who look different than us, with people who sound like us and those who do not, with people who have places to call home at night and those who seek shelter every night. For we know that it is in school classrooms and city libraries and in public parks and in businesses and faith institutions where we connect with each other and with you, God, the one that we call eternal. And in our connections, God, may we become aware of our humanity, recognizing that this city as it is not as it yet can be, and that we can powerfully collaborate and walk together towards making a better city and a better world. And so we pray, Rahmana, God that we call Merciful One, with both an inward focus and an outward determination, may the mayor and the city council be an inspiration for all of Dallas' citizens. Guide our elected officials as you did our ancestors. May this council have the audacity to vision and hope and build trust in one another. And may its members, through their actions and deeds, model for all of us that our lamp is lifted to both illuminate our own way and to serve as a light unto the nations. God, guide the mayor and the city council with wisdom to become passionate and purposeful, fair and just in all of our city's public works. And let us all say, Amen.
Amen. Ms. Alonzo?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, would you all stay standing for a moment of silence? We've had several really city fathers pass away in recent weeks, and we lost a significant one this last week with the passing of Bill Blair. He passed away at age 92, with a generation is going by the wayside, and I think it's appropriate that we do. For those of you who don't know of Bill, he was an important part of our city. As founder and newspaper publisher, Bill has been a community voice, breaking through several social barriers, challenging the status quo. He not only recorded history as a publisher, Blair made history as the youngest black first sergeant in the United States Army during World War II. He was a former Negro lead pitcher and founder of the Dallas Elite News. A pioneering civil rights leader, Blair also demonstrated a keen interest in helping those in need and has been at the helm of several grassroots movements and endless fights in our city. His death is truly a sad loss for our city. Please let us give him a moment of silence in remembrance of his life. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you. Also, before we take our speakers, I thought I would celebrate some significant milestones for the city. For the third year in a row, just yesterday, U.S. News and World Report named Townview School for Talent and Gifted as the number one public high school in the nation. I thought that was a wonderful, wonderful piece of news. And also, I am so excited to celebrate truly special accomplishments by young people. I think some of you may know that we gave the key to the city to Jordan Spieth a while back for his accomplishments on the PGA Tour when he was under 21. Still hasn't reached 21. But this last couple of weeks, something again happened that was remarkable. I mean, that really broke barriers that no one ever thought would be, and that is Booker T. Washington is graduating and is able to send a record amount of its graduates to Juilliard School of Performing Arts. I mean, it's remarkable. It was reported in the Dallas Morning News, but now it's caught national attention. I thought we would start our morning with a video, a news clip from CBS News about this truly historic accomplishment. So if they say in the 10 o'clock news, if you'll roll the videotape.
The Juilliard School here in New York is one of the world's great institutions for the performing arts, and it takes a lot of talent and hard work to get in.
So how could a single class in a single Dallas, Texas high school send a record 5 young artists there in the same year? Here's Brendan Scott.
To see what makes Booker T. Washington High School different, take a listen and a look.
These halls almost feel thick with creativity, like almost in the air.
When you walk in the morning, there's just this buzz.
Scott Roots is the principal at Booker T., a public magnet school in downtown Dallas that focuses on fine arts. To enroll, students first go through a selection process that tests the boundaries of their creativity. And once admitted, teachers like Lily Weiss push their students to reach for their dreams, even ones that seem impossible. Weiss has taught dance classes here for almost 4 decades.
We have never been a faculty that believes in telling a student that they can't.
For some of these seniors, their dream was to graduate and attend New York's prestigious Juilliard School, known for developing the talents of young performers who often turn into superstars. But with an acceptance rate of only about 7%, getting in is just as tough as getting accepted to an Ivy League university.
It's something I've dreamed of ever since I was little.
Madison Hicks is one of the Booker T. seniors who auditioned for just 24 open slots in the Juilliard dance program. A few weeks ago, she got a Juilliard phone call. She made it.
It was very shocking and very exciting.
Mason Manning auditioned too. His Juilliard call came right after Madison.
Everything kind of went like numb. It's almost like your body doesn't even process it, like your ears literally kind of shut off to like protect you from the rush of emotion you're about to get.
The excitement kept building as the phone kept ringing. By the end of the day, five Booker T students were headed to Juilliard. The hallways erupted in applause. Lily Weiss captured the moment on her cell phone.
Everybody came out into these atrium hallways, and everyone started applauding them. That was when I started crying, because this is the magic of Booker T. Washington.
It seems just about everyone here is reaching for the top, and the proof is in the numbers. The school's 204 graduating seniors this year have all earned more than $23 million in college scholarships.
One of the keys to the school's success, dedication. Alicia Crowder spends up to 8 hours a day on the stage. She earned a spot in Juilliard's acting program.
It's unbelievable almost, but I think it's a testament to the students and to the school.
The school boasts an impressive roster of alumni, including Grammy winners Nora Jones and Erica Badu.
How proud are you of your students when you see them go on and achieve great things?
Oh, more than proud. We said, create magic every day.
And it's that magic that seems to turn these Texas teenagers into stars. For CBS This Morning Saturday, Brandon Scott, Dallas.
So cool, especially seeing all those kids cheer for their classmates in the hall.
They say they beat Powerball on. Congratulations to those kids.
And to Booker T. Washington.
Yes,
that's a really great achievement.
Brandon Scott.
So our congratulations to Booker T. Washington, and our congratulations to Juilliard, too. They made some great choices, so they're making their schools. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and yes, congratulations to all the students. Mr. Mayor, yesterday, in celebration of the 40 years of CDBG funding from the federal government, the Community Development Commission, along in collaboration with the National Community Development Association and the Housing Department, I want to congratulate the Shan Williams and all her staff as we had an open house of success, highlighting the Citizens Development Center, which we had a tour and also participated at that facility that is in District 6. But I also wanted to mention that they put a video together of what has been going on and what they've been doing from the time that they opened and how we've collaborated and worked together. And they're individuals with disabilities, and I got an autograph from Joanne, so I wanted to share it with everybody, because she was very excited and she was very pleased that we not only came to visit the center, but also what they've been doing. So I want to thank the staff from Teresa O'Donnell, Mr. Gonzalez, Teresa O'Donnell, Bernadette Mitchell, Shan Williams, and all the staff. Please, if we can thank them for what they're doing in our city with our partnerships. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. Appreciate it. Open microphone speakers. Ms. Rios.
We're going to begin your morning speakers with Chantel Arashvand, Sandra Crenshaw, Jasper Balkas, Diane Birdwell, and Vicki Tillery.
If you're sick.
Thank you. Individuals, I'm going to read the speaker's guidelines. If your name has been called, if you'll please come closer to the podium. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, profane, or impertinent or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council will be removed from the room from the session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You do have 3 minutes. Please state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. If you have any handouts, please go ahead and give them to our officers, as it does affect your speaking time. Again, your first speaker is Chantel Arashvand. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Chantal Arashvand. I live at 9306 Clearwater Drive, Dallas, Texas. I live in the 10th District. I'm here today to discuss the halting of fluoride to our water. Today, let us put aside the risk related to ingesting fluoride, and let us just focus on the amount of money the city spends to add fluoride to the water. The document we were given by the Dallas Water Department in January 2014 states the contract expires on January 10th, 2015, and the remaining costs are $1,478,418. Even if there was a penalty for canceling the contract early, can you imagine having $1 million to put towards other worthwhile projects? Our raw water naturally contains fluoride as high as 0.57 milligrams per liter. The maximum target is 0.7 milligrams per liter. Fluoride is easily accessible these days to make up that difference. Brushing your teeth is really what benefits the teeth the most. This is why poverty areas still have tooth decay problems, even though they have been fluoridating for 30 years in other poverty areas. Dallas pools close in the hot summers due to budget issues. The library would love more money to provide their services to the community, but funding is in short supply. Yet thousands of dollars a day go down the drain, literally. The Dallas Water Department document states the original contract amount is for $2,048,288 and expires on January 10, 2015. For 3,570 tons of fluoride. How often is this delivered? Where is it stored? How many man hours are involved with checking it in? How about the cost for containers to store it? Are there any other naturalizers needed to be purchased when adding fluoride? Protective clothing the city purchases? There's always additional cost. It's not usually just the one thing. Fluoride does not improve the safety or taste of our water. Its sole purpose for being added was to lessen tooth decay. In Dallas, 48 years and millions upon millions of dollars later, we're saying it's time to stop throwing this money away and spend it on much wiser things. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for bringing that forward. And I would just like to say to all of my colleagues that I think this is a good situation for us to do away with the fluoride. We don't need it. And we just saved $1 million that we can use immediately for something else like libraries, rec centers. And I'd like to see, and I've already talked with AC about this, and we're looking into seeing what we can do immediately so we can get those funds up front now and today. So thank you for bringing that forward. Thank you, Mayor.
Your next speaker, Sandra Crenshaw.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd just like to support your leadership on this, Sheffy, very much. Look forward to looking into this. This contract will come up for renewal very soon, so you can count on my support and let me know how I can help. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Thank you for bringing this to our attention, but I would like to, if we look at this further, that water for the fluoride, fluoride is paid out of the DWU enterprise, and I don't think we could relocate that money towards parks or streets or any other type of amenities. I think it would have to stay within DWU, so that's something we need to look into.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Next speaker is Sandra Crenshaw. Ms. Crenshaw will be followed by Jasper Bacchus and Diane Birdwell.
The Bible says to wipe the mite out of your own eyes before you ask others to remove it from theirs. This mayor has taken over the debate over home rule, making this measure a referendum over the strong mayor control. All the while, the city of Dallas' own charter is under review by a committee that is stacked by former city council members and city management staff. If the mayor supports home rule charter, why didn't he follow a page from the education code that requires that the commission's composition reflect the demographics of its population? To my disappointment, my friend, my hero, Diane Ragsdale is the only African American representing the black residents of this city in South Oak Cliff. Where has my friend Diane gone? Where is the friend who of yore would have refused to bear the burden by herself? Where is my champion who would have said and pointed out there is not one representative from Southern Oak Cliff, not one, no one of youth, no working poor, no parents of a public school students. If this is how a home rule charter would be drafted under mayoral control, I say home rule charter yes and mayor control no. It's little wonder that this commission is considering increased council pay and incumbent protection in the redistricting process. Why we, the people across this country, are calling for campaign finance reform, independent redistricting commission. Who knows better than the chair of this commission, a sitting member of the Texas legislature who has authorized millions of dollars in litigation for decades, fighting off lawsuits claiming that the redistricting done by incumbents in this legislature violate civil rights laws. Where has my friend Diane Ragsdale gone? Thank you.
Your next speaker, Jasper Bacchus. Jasper Bacchus, not present. Diane Birdwell. Ms. Birdwell is the final speaker this morning.
Good morning. My name is Diane Birdwell, and I live at 5705 Meadowick Lane in Carolyn Davis's district, but I work in Dallas at a DISD school in Sheffield, Cadenz. Today I represent NEA Dallas. I took a day off from teaching to tell you to your faces how disappointed and disgusted Dallas teachers are that yet again a conversation is being held about home rule and the future of DISD, and again when teachers could not come. Imagine having a meeting about crime and not inviting the police. Imagine having a meeting about hospitals and not inviting doctors. Of course, tomorrow, the Oak Cliff Chamber of Commerce is doing the exact same thing with one of the mayor's star council people moderating it, a group which seems to never have anyone over the age of 40. Missing are the voices of experience with the Dallas kids, the teachers. How typical. So let me address items I bet they didn't cover last week. Did they tell you that the home rule will cost the DISD taxpayers about $1 million before anything really happens? That petition to start a conversation has a price tag attached. They will need legal advice. There will be costs for the staff. Instead of doing stuff for us, doing stuff for the charter to craft an already done deal. Plus the cost of public hearings, meetings, record keeping, and the cost of the election added in. $1 million. Did they mention that their main goal was to make teachers like me, experienced teachers like me, at-will employees? No due process that you have with city employees, guaranteeing against false charges or biased principles. Be careful. Texas likes at-will employees, working relationships, and that means you can fire a bad teacher, which, by the way, you can already do the way it is here. But be careful. This means teachers can also walk away without being penalized. So many teachers left DISD last year, over 2,000, that the DISD had to send out a letter asking other ISDs to quit poaching our experienced, excellent teachers. Otherwise, they threatened to pull our licenses to teach in the entire state. Well, hey, under home rule, your kid's favorite AP physics teacher can leave at Christmas to go work in Garland, or your kid's English 2 teacher can decide to walk away in March before the star test, leaving the kids with a sub so she can go on a cruise, and there's nothing we can do about it. At the heart of this is money and power. Some who have donated money to your very own campaigns and have given money as much as $45,000 per election to 8 of the 9 DIS trustees is behind us, or at least we know some of them since they're silent on who they all are. They have now been exposed for being secretive, conniving, bordering on sociopathic and oligarchy that they are. And then last week I heard y'all had it was either home rule or support Mr. Miles. Not once did I hear anything about supporting me, the teachers, in the classroom. But guess what? We're available all the time outside of school hours, and we don't charge a thing. We don't have to have a petition. We are here if you want to talk to us. I've been here before saying this, but y'all ignore us. Remember, this is going to blow up in your faces, and this will be attached to your campaigns from now on. It'll be like stink on a June bug. I ask you to not support home rule and actively not support it. Thank you very much.
That's your final speaker this morning.
Thank you.
We proceed now with your voting agenda. Your first item is approval of minutes of the April 9, 2014 City Council meeting.
So moved. Second.
Do we have any edits, additions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to your consent agenda. There were a couple of items put back on the consent this morning. Therefore, your consent agenda items consist of agenda items number 2 through 27 and addendum items number 1 through 3. Agenda item 6 was corrected on the addendum. Agenda item number 9 is pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Gates due to conflict of interest. Agenda item 11 was corrected on the addendum. Agenda items 14 and 15 are pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Kingston. Agenda item 21 is pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Kingston. And just a note for the record that addendum item number 3 applies to districts 1 through 8, not only district 7. So, therefore, for your approval, you have agenda items number 2 through 8, 8 through 13, 16 through 20, 22 through 27, and addendum items number 1 through 3.
Thank you. I'll, thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Council Member Gates will be leaving the council chamber as she has a conflict on agenda item number 9. Agenda item number 9 is authorize an amendment to resolution number 13-2059, section 2E, to reduce the financing requirement from $37 million to a minimum of $28 million for the development loan with Dallas Housing Authority for the Turner Courts project located at 6601 Bear Street for a 206-unit apartment project.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Council Member Gates may return to the council chamber. Agenda items number 14 and 15 need to be considered collectively. Agenda item number 14 is authorize a contract with NPL Construction Company, Inc., lowest responsible bidder for in the amount of $14,648,832 for the construction of pavement surface improvements for street resurfacing and street improvements for 2014. Agenda item number 15 is authorize a professional services contract with Kleinfelder Central, Inc. to provide construction material testing during the construction of the street resurfacing and street improvements for 2014. Councilmember Kingston pulled the item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kingston.
Need to ask some questions before I make my motion, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Mr. Galceron, the reason I pulled this is there are actually several reasons. One, it wasn't briefed. It's a large item that I don't think has had committee review. We're in a situation where we think we're $900 million away from getting the streets to the level that we promised the taxpayers we would. It's mind-blowing, frankly. And so one thing I asked Public Works to do as an interim measure, at least to prioritize how we're going to attack the 2012 bond program and the other streets issues we need, is to prioritize these projects by usage so that we're not just fixing streets based on their condition, but also by the number of cars that use them every day. I'm fully aware of what that's going to mean in terms of residential streets as opposed to arterial connections. But it's the only way to get the bang for the buck. And what I don't see in items 14 and 15 or in any of the other street stuff that we've been given since we were told that we're basically in a catastrophic shortfall on streets maintenance is a comprehensive plan for how we're going to eat this elephant. Budget process is about to start, and I'm charged with trying to find some poor, pathetic amounts of money for arts, culture, and libraries in this town. And I live in fear that all of those projects and all of the other projects that my colleagues care about that aren't basic infrastructure maintenance will be utterly crushed by the need to pay for these streets. And I tried to raise this issue when we talked about doing Riverfront. We have got to reprioritize what we're doing here in this town. And it's not just streets. I've been keeping a running tally of the things that basically we have already bought but haven't paid for. Streets at $900 million. Am I right in thinking traffic signals at almost $200 million? A needs inventory in arts, culture, and libraries facilities only of $186 million. According to the environmental impact statement that was released last week, a minimum, a bare minimum of $185 million in the Trinity before we get one amenity or one piece of infrastructure supporting whatever stupid road we're thinking about building. We're getting darn near close to $2 billion. And before we haul off and sign a bunch of contracts for people to fix our streets, I'd kind of like to have a plan for how we pay for all this. And so, Rick, this is unfair. You came up here to tell us how you're going to fix the streets, which is something you're really good at. But I went on a little bit of a rant. Sorry about that. But I would like to know if we can reprioritize the implementation of the 2012 bond package to make sure that we're getting maximum bang for the buck.
After this item, we can easily try to implement a process. I will mention on this particular item, there's 48 segments, 12 are in thoroughfares. We assign these based on what other utilities are scheduling, economic development. We also try to implement it on economies of scale. How is the contractor going to mobilize his equipment throughout the areas to maximize efficiency and get us a better price, of course? We work with council district distribution, and of course we can try to do our best to also implement lane miles or usage as well. We'd like to move forward with that in the next packages. You're going to see at least a couple of them in the next following 2 years.
Mr. Mayor, if I follow up for just a moment,
please.
I turn my mic off inadvertently. Rick, thank you for that. I will look forward to seeing that. I want to mention, colleagues, one other thing that my colleague Jerry Allen, who's chair of our Budget Audit and Finance Committee, is going to do is sit down with management to talk about bringing some ideas for strategic plans to Budget Audit and Finance. We'll, of course, welcome your participation there. I don't want to just complain about having problems and not look for solutions, but I got to say this one frightens me. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to move this forward.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. We have a second.
Okay.
Mr. Atkins.
Mr. Kingston, thank you for the update. But also in 2012, we went to the voters. And again, the voters decided what street they want to get done. And I don't make a long speech about voters' decision in 2006 bond package. We went to the voters in 2006, and they voted to make sure our rec center was taken care of, make sure our library was taken care of, make sure our streets were taken care of, and we did not do what the voters were to do. We had a big division between the council said we should not raise property tax. But the voters gave us authority to raise property tax based on that package. In 2012, I went to our voters and the council member on this district, on this chamber, went to the voters, and they said these are the streets that need to be repaired. And I can't see how I can go back to my resident and to my citizens and say, I'm going to change everything. And that's something that we should not do. That's not a good message we send back to our voters and our residents. I know that Forrest Turner, Jill Jordan, will they come forward, please? You know, sometimes we need change, but when we make change, we need to follow a process or procedure. How do we make changes? And how do the change is best for everyone? There is 14 different districts in the city of Dallas. There are 14 different council members in the city of Dallas. And each council member feel like their district, their street, and their thoroughfare is more important than anyone else. But also, we live in the city of Dallas. Jill, would you come forward? You fire us a question. The process and the procedure that we do our street and our thoroughfare, what is the process? Because Mr. Kingsley opened that door, so I just want to make sure, do we have a process and procedure in place?
So for us, the process begins in the development of a bond program, and we have different categories of projects. We have a thoroughfare category where we are focusing on the large streets that carry the lots of traffic. We also have reconstruction projects, which typically will be residential streets. Resurfacing projects can be on both thoroughfares and residential streets. For each category, we have criteria that we use to develop rankings of the projects, and so we can give council an idea of which project in their districts has greater priority from a technical standpoint. We develop a list of recommendations, and then we work with the council members to come up with what are the priorities for that district, because you all have a closer feel of the pulse of the district, and you get a lot of citizen input. So for the 2012 bond program, we came up with, staff recommended a list, we showed it to council, you all made changes to it to incorporate the priorities of your district, and then we got citizen input. And so we've got, prior to now, what we've done is tried to balance thoroughfares with the residential streets. We've tried to balance bike trails with complete streets, with petition alleys. And so it's kind of an art of putting together a bond program to cover all of the different kinds of priorities. And up to this point, we've attempted to work on each type of project a little bit. And so I think Mr. Kingston had asked some questions, and I responded to him along this line. From my understanding of the conversation, his concern is not so much changing out the 2012 bond program projects. Those were set. I think what we're talking about is changing the order of how we deliver those projects out the door. And if I'm incorrect, Mr. Kingston, I hope will correct my understanding. And so moving forward, we've got two more years of resurfacing contracts. What we could do is look on the remaining list and pull up as many of the major thoroughfares that remain on to next year's list, and then leave the residential streets for the final year. I will tell you, however, that some of you, and I'll pick on Mr. Caraway, and he's not here right now, but he's got a residential street that his district has been crying for, and he talks about it every time. Well, it's on this list. So sometimes you all have a residential street that, you know, you really need us to do. So that's part of the give and take as we develop the implementation of the bond program.
But Jill, by saying that, you just made one important statement. The council member, district, and their resident, they did have input on their street. They had input on their street, and they went to the poll and voted for their street. They did that. So if we not listen to the voters, why are we here? So my resident, in 2 years from now, I would not be here. So I'm here for the voters who vote for their street to need to be repaired on the Timberlake Mountain, just like the alleys. You know, I know Ms. Grayson, we talk about alleys. We want to make sure alleys get done. It'd be a shame that we postpone our alleys to change some different 2 years down the road. Also, with economic development, thoroughfare street, we got to make sure economic development, those thoroughfares get repaired, because those developers are not going to come there. Also, we need to work with cost savings. When you assign your construction and trying to save money to repair those streets, how do we organize those contractors to make sure they get the best bang for their buck and jumping from one side to the other side? Then you got to come back to us and say, we got to change order because we changed their schedule. So this, colleagues, I appreciate the conversation, but we got to be very, very careful. It could cost us money in the long run. And so we got a mechanism in place now. If you want to tweak it, I just ask, do not tweak my resident for the next 2 years. Keep my stuff on schedule, because I'm going to come down and fight right on the other side of that deal and say, the voters vote for those streets to get repaired in the time of life matter, and that's what we're going to do. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Kingston, for bringing this to our attention. And I respect, you know, that the bond program, this is implementing that. Of that, is it was it a $400 million bond program that went towards street? Is that correct or no? What was?
$260 million.
Oh, it was just $260 that went towards streets. How much more of that are we left to allocate? I mean, have we allocated?
As Jill was describing.
Right.
The majority of that is left.
Okay.
Whenever you are doing engineering projects, the first year we spend the majority of the time and effort getting the engineering contracts out the door, which is what we've done. And then the beauty of resurfacing is that it doesn't require all those plans. And so resurfacing, we do kind of equal amounts each year of the bond program. So the first year of the bond program, we've gotten the engineering out the door and the first round of resurfacing. So what we're now moving into the phase where we're going to really start spending the money, because you'll start seeing construction awards.
And so we'll continue to see these construction awards going on the next.
You know, I'll refresh your memories, but as we laid out the implementation of the bond program, kind of first up are the alleys. And so the first wave of all the engineering contracts were alleys. And we're kind of, I mean, that horse has left the barn and we're on that road. And so there's not a lot of flexibility at this point in terms of the sequence of the projects, because when we lay out the bond program, we did it and we're rolling.
Right. And I know this is only part of the money that's spent on streets. We have some from our general fund, which maybe does have a little more flexibility on how it's implemented or how we spend that money. And I just, to reiterate what Mr. Kingston said, I think, and I know I'm kind of a lone ranger here, but I think we have to look at more than just allocating fairly through the 14 districts, that we have to be able to look at road usage, the traffic, or the impact that has on it, and also the total lane miles. I mean, when you look at our briefing that we had, you know, there's we have disparity between the districts, and that's just going to continue. We have some over 90% and my district in the low 70s for satisfactory rate. And I just, if we continue this, that's not going to get any better. So I think I'm for a more fair distribution of the money, and if it's general fund money or bond. And I understand that the bond money is somewhat restricted, but I'm looking for bang for the buck, and right. Is what I'm looking for also. So.
Well, between bond programs, it's the general fund money that we have the greater flexibility with in terms of how we prioritize. And the caution for all of us is that, you know, individual citizens will call about their residential streets, and they will call and be very persistent and strong, and it's, you know, it's a challenge to say, you know, no, we're not going to do yours because we're going to do the major thoroughfares. So it's this balancing act that is difficult on all of us.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. I'll let Judge Hill speak, and then we'll come back, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to refresh our recollection on the very arduous process that we went through in compiling the 2012 bond program as to which streets would have what priority. I recall that the staff made a comprehensive list. I had to review that list. I then met with staff over several hours going over those items individually. I then met with my constituents. Staff met with some of my constituents. That's how we determined the priority in my district. I have no idea how other council members did it, but I know what I did. And I know the kind of time and care that went into determining which streets would be repaired, resurfaced, what needed to be completely redone. I am not interested in throwing that out at this juncture. Mr. Atkins, I'll be down here with you on the other side of the podium fighting to keep what my constituents said they wanted, because that's what is reflected in the 2012 bond program. My number one phone call, email, listen to me at neighborhood meetings is residential streets. Code runs a close second, but it is their streets that they're concerned about, and I've paid attention to that. I will continue to pay attention to that because that's what's important to them. And I'm just not interested in moving away from the attention that I pay to what they consider their number one priority. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll try to be brief just to respond. I believe I've been misunderstood quite radically. Perhaps I'm just not being clear today. No one's talking about changing bond package. This is a discussion about what streets are the first priority for repair. And whatever process we went through to determine that before did not include accurate street condition information. We've established that at great length this year on council, that we apparently told the voters that their streets were in much better shape than they actually were in. I don't know if any of you recall this. And told them that $260 million would be sufficient to achieve council goals for condition of the streets. That turns out not to be true. However, we got to the not true point, I think it's incumbent on us to look at the data we have. And the data we have now is not the data we had when we made the original priority list. That's what I'm calling for, is a very simple, one tiny piece of the picture in terms of fixing our streets, is figuring out which ones to fix first. And your districts are your districts. Run them however you'd like to run them. Personally, I'll run mine on data.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Chill, fires or AC, you know, I'm kind of confused and kind of concerned that our staff go out and inspect our streets and we do not get the correct information what condition our street is in. How do we go out and how do we make sure the grades A through F is the right grade? Do we have someone else come back and said this is the wrong grade of our street?
The thing that has changed, as you all know, we have the this vehicle, and it has equipment on it that helps us actually measure the street. When we started doing that several years ago, we noticed the streets were slightly not as good as what we thought.
Okay.
The biggest change, however, is the assumption of the deterioration rate of the streets. And we looked at data from around the country, and we used kind of national standards for the deterioration rate on streets. And when we did that, what we discovered was that using that, our streets are going to deteriorate at a faster rate than what we had projected, which is the thing that has caused the change.
Well, and by token is, number one, technology change. And when technology change, you go back and try to find out what the best technology is to make sure you correct the problem. I can go back and take one street, Von Seal, in my district on Hampton Road, from the airport all the way down to Camp Wilson. We repaired that street. The water department came in there and put a water line on that same street and covered the street back up. Then also it fell back down in different contracts with different data. Then that street might was graded as a B, then might got graded as an F when you go back and do it. One thing I want to be clear that when we have our town hall meeting and we have our budget, that we are telling the citizen the correct information. If we are regrading our street differently, we need to let them know this is how we grade the street differently. It's all right to make a mistake, but it's great to come back and say we changed because of technology. And I think y'all did come back and tell us that how we did this because we bought this machine to go out there and regrade the street. So prioritize, and like I said, everyone here care about their district more than everyone else. But we also care about what the citizens say when they go to their poll and vote. If they go to their poll and vote and we change what they're doing, then we should not be here at all. And so what I'm just saying is, in my district, that I'm going to fight for the citizen who voted, who went to the street, I met with you, and we had many meetings. I went to the town hall meeting. We put a whole map of my whole district and how every street was graded, how we could do it, whatever. Like on Crouch Road. We know that was a bad, narrow street. We did not have the bond money to do it, but we did the best we could to repair the street. So, all that I'm saying is, number one, what we need to do is economic development. You know, how we make sure thoroughfares done, match up with development, property tax, whatever. But there's more streets in Southern Dallas. I got 800 some odd lane miles of my street. I got a whole lot of streets do not have gutters, do not have sidewalks, still on dirt and gravel throughout the whole city. And we did discuss that. Some district need more revenue, more asset than the other ones. Some need less than that. But I don't want to get in a debate that we change everything. It's a good conversation to see how we go forward. But then, too, we're still $900 million short to make sure we get all the street done. So I think it should not be a big fight over how we do everything, but what is the best way for the citizen and the taxpayer to make sure all our street is repaired in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that I understood also. You know, one of the things we talk about is transparency and what we tell the citizens, so on and so forth. And from my understanding, it's always been we have the needs inventory list. And that's the very first thing that when a citizen says we need to do street repair, we look at it, we put it on needs inventory. Approximately how much is that needs inventory list right now?
Oh, I don't know, $10 billion total.
A lot of money, $10 billion. And so obviously our debt ratio for the city, we can't handle all that in one time. So we have to take a little bit of a bite along the way. And those numbers, whether it's $8 billion or $10 billion, it's a big number. And so we've always known that that's a big number that's out there. But we have to take a little bit of a bite, 200 some odd million of it along the way. The best part of this, whole conversation, now that we've come back and said, well, you know, now maybe our streets are going to deteriorate a little quicker than we thought. So the best part of that conversation, is for the council. And the reason I think so is at the end of the day, street repair, sewers, things like that, infrastructure, it's not very sexy. And it's kind of hard to do a bond program on non-sexy items. So if you got a big figure, you throw it out there, it makes it a little easier to sell it to the citizens versus selling recreation centers and quality of life issues. So, so at the end of the day, I think from my perspective, we've always known that it's a large figure, and that's just streets, you know, the needs inventory, and there's so much other that needs to be done. And there'll be hard choices that will come up, balancing quality of life issues with infrastructure. And infrastructure is not very pretty, but allowing us to realize how important it is if we don't continue to do so. And we will have these discussions and with Mr. Kingston's help and city management. We'll walk through these things and see the best we can. Make sure we're on the road that we all want to be on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to thank all of our colleagues for the frank informational debate or discussion on this really, I think, one more important topics that we have, you know, facing our city right now. My opinion is that we first, you know, make a valid condition report that we can convey to our constituents. Then, of course, you know, prepare the needs inventory. We also, in my opinion, should have a comprehensive survey or feedback mechanism that we can help ascertain what our citizens want. I think it's our responsibility also to provide the proper leadership to develop an implementation strategy that gets our proper bang for our buck. So it's just one thing to take a report out there and have a needs inventory, but we've got to somehow provide the leadership quotient, you know, let them know that, look, this is what staff has determined. We believe this is an accurate, correct condition report. These are where the needs are. It's a balanced approach between arterials and streets and alleys, and then begin to sell that to them, because otherwise they don't have the information. If they don't have the information, how can they make a decision? The only other thing they can really do is, I'm looking at my street out there, I want my personal street fixed, but they need to understand that there's other people maybe that have worse streets or worse arterials or worse alleys that are bigger problems. So that, I think, is the right way to do it. I don't think we should retreat from what we've done in 2006 and 2012. As you indicated, Jill, you know, the horse has already left the barn. Let's go ahead and continue to implement that, and then complete the work that has to be done. But going forward in 2017, let's make sure we get it right. Let's continue to tweak the actual current condition, and develop a comprehensive needs package, as Councilman Allen stipulated. You know, we've got a big price tag out there, and with all the other needs that we have in front of us, there's just no way we can pay for it all at one time. So, to use the term that Mr. Kingston indicated, you know, how do we take that bite? And it's going to have to be as intelligent as we can possibly make it, because we can't afford to make a mistake here going forward, because there's simply just not enough money. Never will be enough money, but let's make sure we get the right bang for the buck. Thank you.
Well, and to that point, if you don't mind, you know, we try to give you all the best information that we have at a time, and information changes as we learn more. And so, you know, I mentioned that we're using the national standards. Our next step is to do the data and the analysis over the next couple of years to see if our local conditions match those national. And then we will be able to see how do we need to adjust that rate. So, you know, please stay tuned. This isn't a function of making a mistake. This is a function of doing the research, doing the analysis, to coming up with the best answer. And as a result of that, you know, things change over time. And so I want you all to know that we are working towards giving you the best information that we have, and it's going to change as we learn more.
I hope we can get that survey. You know, it doesn't have to be lengthy, but a few pages to really help our citizens out there, because otherwise we're just flapping our arms in the breeze, you know, saying, what do you guys want? Which streets do you want to fix? Let me have a show of hands. Right. And we've got to have a pragmatic way of getting that data so we can make sure it's correct going forward.
Agreed.
Thank you. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. Just one point of clarification with regards to the 2012 bond program. I believe the reason the number $260 million was selected was because that's what our bonding capacity allowed us to put on the program and maintain our rate.
Well, the overall bond program amount was, you know, set using that as a criteria, mm-hmm. and then once again it comes into the balancing, because we also had drainage and economic development.
Right. So we had maybe as much as $10 billion on the inventory,
right,
known at the time, but that was all we had the capacity to do. Which actually brings me to the topic that I wanted to discuss, which is our debt service level and how high it is. And how in each bond program we look at what is our capacity, as in how much credit we have left on the credit card. This is very concerning to me. And I really would like to challenge the city manager's office to look at a way we can go to a pay-as-you-go system as opposed to a debt system. Currently, our operating budget costs us about over 20, maybe 22% of our operating budget goes to debt service, and that is millions, almost $260 million that we could be spending on other services. So I'd like to challenge.
Okay, we're getting off the subject here a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you. But we heard you.
I'll take that as that's not something we want to discuss.
No. Okay. I don't want to discuss it on this item, but
we
will discuss it at some point. Thank you, Mr. Kleinman. Mr. Griggs hasn't spoken, so let him speak, and then you can finish up, Mr. Kingston.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. I look forward to that discussion, Lee. Every dollar we borrow, we're paying back about $1.40. So if we borrow $1 million, that's approximately $70,000 a year we have to cut in services over a 20-year period. So how we handle our debt will be an important topic. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
My apologies, Mr. Mayor. I'll be short. I just have to correct something. What we told the voters was that $260 million combined with our standard streets budget for each year coming up would be sufficient to maintain the streets at an average 87% acceptable level and with no council district falling below 80%. If you'd like to see any of the marketing material, I still have it on my laptop, having served on the bond steering committee. This is how we sold it. It's what we told the voters. So if anybody wants to talk about the will of the people, I'm happy to have that discussion.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve this item. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. And item passes. Next item.
Item 21 is authorized, number one, an increase in the construction contract with AUI Contractors, LLC, for construction of the levee drainage system, Hampton Oak Lawn Sump, also referred to as the Baker number 3 pump station, and number two, extend the contract by an additional 90 days. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
I entertain a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I make a motion to move this item forward.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Jill, the way that this got explained to me, and I really appreciate the staff coming to explain this to me, is that the core, when we needed to rebuild the Baker pump station because it wasn't going to be sufficient for flood control farther down the river, the core couldn't give us final design elements so that we could budget sort of with the specificity we normally do. Is that right?
They were still working on their criteria, and so we could not include this work in the main contract. Normally, it would have been a part of the main contract. But because the Corps was still changing their criteria and analyzing the stability of the levee and how they wanted to handle foundation design, we intentionally went forward with the main pump station, knowing that this piece could catch up and we could deliver the project much quicker.
And so people understand this piece that we're talking about is we finally received final design approval for the sump. And so that required a change order increasing our cost to finish the sump, right?
Right. And so we would have paid, you know, the money earlier. We're just having to do it as a change order as opposed to putting it in the original contract.
In other words, we knew the change order was coming. We just didn't know how much it was going to be.
Correct, because we didn't know what the design was going to be.
Okay, and am I right in thinking that we had to start this thing because it was a safety issue, right?
Yes, because we wanted to get the pump station built as rapidly as possible, and pump stations have a long lead time, you know, 2.5 years. And with the potential of FEMA remapping this area as being in the floodplain because of the pump station not being there, we wanted to proceed as quickly as possible, and that's why we split it out like this.
Well, it seems to me that staff dealt with this in the best way that they could given the information they have. My question and my concern is whether the Corps worked fast enough to protect our Southern Dallas residents. I mean, I think it's a little bit odd that we knew that we were going to be on the hook for some increased cost, but they couldn't tell us how much because they couldn't tell us what design they were going to improve to protect our citizens. It seems to me that city staff was taking care of us and the Corps maybe wasn't so much. Am I being unfair?
If I was the Corps person standing here, I would say that the Corps is all about public safety, and that they want to make sure that what they do will stand the test of time and be safe. And so the answers to these questions required the highest level of involvement in the Corps, in which they had to bring in national experts to come up with the solution that would work for Dallas.
But in the interim, we had to get started to protect our citizens. I appreciate you and your staff taking time to explain this item to me. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Yes, Jim, you know, great. I mean, it's great that we had council members, you know, do their due diligence and try to find out why we spend money and why stuff is behind the schedule. We started this project back in the 2006 bond package. Is that correct, Jim?
Right.
It was about $48 million that the voters went after and said, we're going to put $48 million to make sure those is safe and the cost there. And something we do not control is federal government, the Corps. They work on a budget, and Mr. Kingsland, that when they run out of money, everything just stops. And we did have that problem, you know, with the Corps, you know, the deadline. And Von, so you correct me if I'm wrong. At that time, that they came in and said, oh, we need to recertify our levies. We need to do something different. And that was a break there that stopped. We also have secure a whole lot of electric power down the way, and that take more time to get that done. In the 2000 lines, when the levels failed, and we had to re-beat that up to make sure it's safety, that in 2013, that's when we started doing the design, or that's when we let the bid out?
No. I mean, we were already under construction before that. So we proceeded with the design of this back in 2009.
Right. About. And so therefore, what we're doing right now is make sure that it's safe and also cost. If you look at this here, you know, we had $48 million set aside for this, and construction price go up and cost go up, and we're probably going to be maybe with doing acquisition or probably whatever, we probably maybe $4 or $5 million over budget due because of something we could not foresee, and which is the court. I mean, when the court said that we had to make sure our levers is safe and make sure the citizens safe, but also it was another big issue also back in. Also, over there is this over there close to the Anatole Hotel with all that property. Remember, everybody came down here and said we might lose 10% of our property tax basis if we had a major flood and all of this came up, and how we balance our general budget, because all this come from the general fund. All that came up, they're doing that same criteria. So it's great to have information coming back to the council colleagues that one thing I would like every college should do also, when you talk about the Trinity, you talk about the Parkway, whatever, go back way to 2006. This go way back in 1998, 1994, what it take to get there. I mean, what caused the problem? You know, it's not just the city. You also deal with the federal government. And the court, first thing they said, we work on the budget. At the end of the day, we ain't got no money. We stop. And so everything stopped because of the court. So they also one who gave a little hiccup on here. But our main concern is make sure that our property value is safe and make sure it costs. Because if we ever had a flood over there at Baker Pump, we will lose billions of dollars in property value. And that's why we're doing this today, colleagues. That's why we're doing this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Colleagues, Mr. Atkins is absolutely correct on the manner of core funding. The core works on a year-to-year federal budget. Their budget is either renewed or not on an annual basis. If they are short on money, because we sometimes are able to assist, we the city step in and do the work in cooperation with the core. I have had the good pleasure of working with the core since I came on this council as part of the Trinity Project. They have been exceptional partners. Their top priority is the safety and welfare of the citizens of this region and actually throughout the entire country. Their reputation rides on it. They're very good at what they do. They are absolutely concerned about the safety of our citizens. We work in partnership with them. We have an excellent, excellent partnership. I commend the Corps for their diligence, for their always bringing to our attention the safety issues, and I commend our staff, Ms. Jordan, and the rest of your staff for the way you have continued in good partnership with the Corps. You are correct also that their evaluation takes time. They are very careful in their evaluations. They have got to get it right. An example of where they took a huge hit. I don't think they deserved it, but they took a hit, and that was Katrina. The Corps is very, very careful about their evaluations and very concerned about the safety of citizens not only in the southern half of Dallas, but in the city of Dallas and in the United States, period. I express my thanks to them and to you and your staff. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Garraway.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Let me just say that to AC and to everyone, the problem that I have, first, I support the Corps and I understand certain things. What I like to see staff do is once we tell the voters that a price is something, I just think we should roll up our sleeves and get to that point. I so many times, not this issue alone, but I find ourselves extending and doing what you call it, change orders and all of that. And then, you know, we're fighting for so many other things, and then we find some money over here, and we've been fighting for something else, but we have money to increase and change something else other than what we were fighting for. I know that circumstances can dictate our behavior and our must-dos, but when we have these contracts and we say this is what it's going to cost, we should look as far down in the future as to that physical hard cost. Because I have a problem all the time coming up with change orders and increasing this and increasing that. Not that we're not going to do it and not that we're not obligated to get it done. But I think that we should do a better job in looking into the future as to what the cost might be and let that come. And I'd like to come to the council meeting and see where we had a savings and didn't have to increase. We can say, well, because we saved, we decreased instead of always increasing. That's the only thing I got to say about this. I support this. I support the Corps. I support the staff. I think we've done a tremendous job. I'm speaking in general that there are so many items that appear on our council agenda that seek change orders because of something that was unexpected. Let's prepare for the unexpected.
Thank you. All in favor of this item, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda item number 28, is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For individual appointment to the Animal Shelter Commission, Jennifer S. Roberts is nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Atkins and fills a general public qualification. For full council appointment, you have Stephen Birch, nominated by Councilmember Medrano, to the Landmark Commission alternate members. To the Reinvestment Zone 15 Board, Fort Worth Avenue, Tony Hinojosa Jr. is nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo and fills the Dallas County resident qualification.
We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We now move to agenda item number 29. And for the record, if agenda item 29 is adopted, council will not consider agenda item number 30. Agenda item number 29 is authorize a three-year master agreement with 2 1-year renewal options for the purchase of unleaded and diesel fuels based on Platts index rates, W. Douglas Distributing LTD in the amount of $9,410,524, Martin Eagle Oil Company, Inc. in the amount of $10,129,681, and Mansfield Oil Company of Gainesville, Inc., in the amount of $2,891,003, lowest responsible bidders of 9, and Truman Arnold Companies, DBA TAC Energy, in the amount of $40,909,090, local preference bidder.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Atkins.
Motion to move it forward.
We have a second. Motion and second.
Excuse me.
Discussion, Mr. Atkins.
All right. No.
Okay, Mr. Allen.
Ms. Chipperfield.
This is about local preference?
Yes, sir.
And this came to budget, finance, and audit, but during, or maybe it was economic development, but during the time, were you going to bring us, since this is local preference, this is a commodity, and we're going to end up paying, what, extra $50,000, almost $50,000 more for this commodity?
Right. So the cost differential over the 3-year term of the contract is about $49,305.
And if I remember correctly, you were going to send us a memo telling us about the local company and who the company is and why it would be beneficial for this company.
Right. So the vendor submits an affidavit when they submit their bids to the city that describes their anticipated economic benefit to the city. I did send that out to the council on April the 15th, describing how the local preference ordinance works and summarizing the variance in the bids between the low bid and the local preference.
Would you describe just a little bit about this local company? Tell us a little bit about the local company. How big are they? And where are their offices located?
So they have a principal place of business at 100 Crescent Court, and they have the
remember how big that office is?
They have 33 employees here in Dallas.
33 in Dallas?
Mm-hmm.
You know how many employees they have worldwide?
Let me grab that for you. You have the looks like about around between 400 and 500.
About how many?
About between 400 and 500. I can't do all the math right in my head.
About 500 employees worldwide.
About 457.
So
based on the information they provided to us.
457 employees, and of mm-hmm. those 457, 33 are located in Dallas.
Yes, sir.
So is it really local?
They meet the criteria under the ordinance for the local.
Is it showing that what their assets? I know they're one of the largest distributors, aren't they, of particularly aviation fuel in the United States?
I don't have that information. There, the vendor has representative here. If you'd like to ask them, I'm sure they would be willing to answer your questions.
I'm just trying to get my head around why we would spend 50. Don't get me wrong; they're great. It's a great vendor. Mm-hmm. They are a huge, huge company, and why we would spend $50,000? Why not give it to the library? Why not give it to something else? If you're going to just give it to somebody for 50 grand, it's diesel fuel. And while I understand local preference, this is without question a huge company, billions of gallons of that they do. And I just I have a problem with giving somebody $50,000 when I could give it to something different here in the city. So I will not be supporting.
Thank you.
Well, I will be supporting this. You know, we work so hard for local preference for the city of Dallas, and we've been doing this for the last 4 or 5 years in procurement. And it's so often that we have so many different companies who do not live and have a headquarters in the city of Dallas, and we get contract out. And we went through an exercise to put something in place, and we used this one time. This was the first time this company had used it. The first time we ever used it was last year. And we had a discussion, you know, the same type of discussion, why should we do this? Even though it's a large company, but they did move their headquarters here to Dallas. Their headquarters is in the city of Dallas. They did move mm-hmm. here.
They did.
And then I also remember that we also look at that company. They did not have minority employees there. And they went out there and they hired minority employees, which we said you need to do that to bring back. When we do this, how do we measure the economic benefit of this X amount of dollars? You know, what do they give back to the community? What do they give back overall as a company? Those are things that we discussed, you know, a year and a half ago, 2 years when this contract came back up. But it's great to have a tool in the toolbox and just make sure we know how to measure. And I think we got a great measure tool to measure that. When we do get a local preference, what do that corporation do here? there are some companies that, you know, we give benefit to, and all of a sudden they move their headquarters somewhere else. So, and we lose that benefit. But if we're going to be a great city, I would prefer to give $50,000 to the company who is in the city of Dallas, who had a zip code in the city of Dallas, who had employees here, who moved their company here, who moved their headquarters here. We have many companies who got corporate headquarters in the city of Dallas, and that's why we're growing, because of those headquarters who moved in here. So if we got a tool in a toolbox and we don't use it, what is good that we fought for local preference here in the city of Dallas and we don't use it? We know it's going to cost X amount of dollars, because it's stated that even though they might not be the low bid, but if we have a tool that you said they are here and you're a local preference, you can have that benefit. So if you're not going to use it, just do away with local preference. And I don't think that's great if you don't use that tool, which we voted on and we put there, and we got criteria that if you're qualified to do it, you can do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway, and then we'll come back to you, Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mayor. And Mr. Atkins, Mayor President, are you saying that this is the same company, which I remember, that we talked about a year and a half ago?
Yes.
That, and now they've adhered and moved their headquarters into Dallas. Headquarters from where?
Arkansas.
From Arkansas. Okay. And they were sensitive and adhered to the need of having minorities.
That's correct.
So they are doing...
And what we did, we told them they had to go hire someone within 60 days, which they did.
Okay.
And we followed back up on that.
All right. I favor that. I think we, since this council is one that are pro-business, and that's been talked about so much around here, that we should adhere to those that are adhering to the wishes of the city and of the council. And if that is what has been done, is that is what taking place, Ms. Chipperfield?
They added two jobs last year, and they have filled those positions during the year.
Okay. All right. Then I stand in agreement with you, Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree. I think with local preference is important. I mean, if we put the ordinance in place, we're asking companies to come here. I'm challenged a little bit with the commodity of being paying just $50,000, you know, spending $50,000 more for a commodity. When we have a local preference in place, do we ever give that vendor the opportunity to give us that 50 match the other bidder, or is that we can't do that?
No, because it's just a straight bid. We just take bids at one time and make the comparison to what we receive. We don't go back and negotiate pricing.
We don't do that at that point.
No.
Okay, that's my question.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't think being business friendly includes paying preferential rates for commodities. In fact, I think that sends the opposite message, that Dallas is a place that puts its thumb on the scale. Unless there's some pressing public policy reason to exclude a vendor, I think the attitude of this council ought to be one of taking all comers and looking for the lowest bid, particularly on commodities where we can't reasonably say there's something else to look at other than price. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I'm very much in favor of local control, too, and I think Jennifer made a very valid point. While that may not be our precedent to go back to those bidders, I would certainly like to incentivize them in some way to do that. You know, it's building a bridge of cooperation going forward, but I'm a little double-minded about this. I mean, I'd like to support local preference, but I am also concerned that we're just throwing $50,000 out the window that could be used, of course, you know, in libraries and parks and other things. It is what it is. It's just a commodity. But I also recognize that we have invested in local, you know, preference. We've brought this company, you know, down, I guess, from Arkansas. I think they've got offices in Oklahoma, if I think my research is right. Is that 33 employees? That's what's here?
33 in their office at the Crescent Court.
Do we know what the minority breakdown of those employees are?
I have the overall minority or ethnic composition is in the agenda item for the entire firm. I don't think I have it just for the Dallas office.
So we don't have any stats on minority or women employees of that group?
For the entire firm in your agenda item, if you want me to read them off, I can.
Do we know where those employees live? Do they also live within the city, or is that mixed? Or
so the company reported to us that of the 33 employees in the Dallas office, 12 live within the city of Dallas.
I'm not sure I want to give up the $50,000 as bad as I hate to do that. I think I'm probably not going to support it because of that $50,000. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Mr. Kleinman, then we'll do second round. Thank you.
With regards to giving preference to any company, I want to remind this council, we give millions in economic development help to companies all across the city every single week. So, you know, $50,000 local preference to me is minor compared to things like even on today's agenda, 40-some-odd million to the Statler project over there. Millions. So, the company moved here. We want to attract companies here. I'm comfortable with it. Thanks.
One thing I want to – this is a three-year contract, Ms. Sheffield. So that is it $50,000?
$50,000 over the life of the contract,
so
about $16,000 or so.
$16,000 a year. Gotcha. Thank you. Second round, Mr. Allen.
The commodity again. If anybody does their homework, it's a large company. It's a large company. You go back and they're a large company. They're a very successful company. We're very valued. Very lucky to have them in Dallas. There's no question about that. No question about that. No question about that. The good they've done for other cities that they've been in, no question about that. No question about that. I have a little bit of a difference of opinion when it comes to real estate deals versus a commodity. I have a difference of opinion on that. All you have to do is research the company, and it's like giving $50,000 to Exxon. But I suspect we will get that back because the company is such a decent company, and we'll help reciprocate this money back to good causes in the city of Dallas. I suspect that's why we hear quietness on some of these issues. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. These people from Arkansas are just something else. These people from Arkansas, they come here to Dallas. And when they get here to Dallas, and I'm talking about the people from Arkansas, they seem to figure out a way to just turn things around and start making a lot of money. Now, that Jerry Jones is from Arkansas. That doggone Jerry Jones is from Arkansas. And he came in here with the Dallas Cowboys. He made an investment. And look at what this man is doing today. Even though we, the city of Dallas, we don't have it per se, but they're the Dallas Cowboys. Who's to know what this $50,000 is going to bring us from another man from Arkansas, another company? It might grow. We're talking about 33 jobs today. Could turn into 250 jobs because he's from Arkansas. We don't have a lot of Dallas companies moving to Arkansas. But we got people that want to move here to Dallas from Arkansas. And if they're going to move here and begin to corporately step up to the plate and follow the suggestions and the desires of this city, then we need to make the $50,000 investment into them. And then let's just hope and pray that good things happen and grow from here. I like people from Arkansas. I think Arkansas is putting Dallas on the map.
Thank you, Mrs. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
on the affidavit that they sent in, there was a line item. I mean, I'm kind of with Mr. Allen. I think, you know, the question is $50,000 going to come back to the city? And there was about economic development or economic impact, I think, mm-hmm. and they didn't fill in that blank. Is it fair? I think that's the question to kind of ask. Is it fair to ask the representatives to elaborate on how they think, you know, that $50,000 would come back to our city?
If you want to ask them a question, they're available.
Yeah, are they here?
Yes, they're here. Yeah.
Good morning.
Thank you.
The economic development piece that you're talking about, you know, the amount of volume that we had gone through with the bid process for the city for this particular go-around was about double what it was for last year. So we are actually in a growth period. We're currently looking to hire more personnel that are going to work in the city of Dallas here in our office in the Crescent. We need at least one more person specifically to help manage this volume as it becomes, you know, as the volume grows, it's more, there's more locations that we have to service. It's more activity that we have to provide as part of the sale and the activity around the commodity. In addition, you know, we are in general in a growth mode and beyond just the City of Dallas activity, we've got other activity that we're trying to build on that would afford us to hire more folks that will be working in the Crescent. So all that stuff sort of plays on itself. You know, the more business that we can do, the more jobs that we can create, and all of those types of jobs that are centered around the energy side of our business, which is the side that we work in, it becomes like a little bit of self-fulfilling prophecy to be able to for the growth aspect. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Thank you. Let's take a record vote. There seems to be some division here, so we've got a motion and a second. Yes, the motion is approved.
Please start voting. Both have voted. Thirteen have voted. All 14 have voted. All have voted. Voting in favor, Council Members Carraway, Kleinman, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonso, Council Members Callahan, Cadane, Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Council Member Hill. Voting against are Council Members Medrano, Gates, Allen, Kingston, Grayson, and Griggs. Councilmember Davis is absent pending approval of city business. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Agenda item number 31 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from ADRCC LLC approximately 47,180 square feet of land located near the intersection of Fennel Street and Lombardi Lane in the City of Dallas, Block 8, 6495, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for a wastewater pipeline for the Shady Trail Relief Interceptor Project. This item requires a record vote.
Thank you. I will, before I entertain a motion, Mr. Gonzalez.
Before we have any conversation about the item, I wanted to take a bit of personal privilege and ask Bonnie to come to the podium.
Bonnie.
I'm not trying to impact on any questions you might have, but maybe some of the tenor. But this is Bonnie's last city council meeting, one of her last items that she might be involved in. She has been with the city some 36 years. In that time, she has done stellar performance in many areas of the city. planning, housing, HR, budget, management services, and more recently, real estate. I have not had the pleasure of working with her on all of those, but I have in a number of them. And in every situation, she has been just nothing but a pleasure to work with. And I wish her well in her next part of her life.
Thank you.
Would you just stay there and let's do a little business and then we'll... Okay, Ms. Alonzo, entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I want to make sure that we did read the necessary information for this item so that I can be able to make the motion.
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure. Move for approval.
Second. Motion is second. Discussion
None.
On this item.
None.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Excuse record me? Vote.
Record vote. Thank you.
Please start voting.
Okay.
Thirteen have voted. We're lacking one vote. All have voted. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, Caraway, Gates, Allen, Kleiman, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonso, Council Members Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Council Member Hill. Council Member Davis is absent pending City Council approval of city business. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Now, 36 years, congratulations. Thank you on behalf of the citizens of Dallas for your service and professionalism and working through the many city councils and the many city managers. We appreciate it very much. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Bonnie, I just want to say in short, it's been just tremendous, tremendous working with you. Every single time AC into this council that I've personally called upon Bonnie. She can be over at Aardmark, over on Jefferson, wherever she is. She's running. She's here. She's on time. She has her stuff together. We're going to miss you. More importantly, as the mayor has said, we appreciate all that you've done. It's important that we articulate to the citizens of this city that you are someone that has represented the city on all levels with the highest of integrity and character. Love you, miss you. You're going to put a little grandbaby up there. I know what you know who we're talking about. At the end of the day, your shoes are going to be hard to fill. But, just good luck in the future, and I'm coming to the retirement party.
Thank you, Mr.
Atkins.
Yeah, again, Bonnie, since I've been here for the last 7 years, that it's never been a moment that I call your office or call your cell phone, you respond. And AC, and I guarantee, when I call her, it might be 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock about a project, a real estate deal, she's always there. I mean, and I admire you for that. And I'm going to miss you because it's very difficult to sometimes get staff to respond that quickly. But she do respond quickly in her position. And she's probably one of the best staff you have for AC. I'm going to miss you.
Thank you,
Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. Bonnie, I think I've worked with you now more than 15 years. You've moved around to lots of different departments in the city and have been a great performer in all of them. You're so professional, but you're just a pleasure to work with. And so we are going to miss you. I was just shocked when I saw you were going to retire. And I want to point out to everybody that, as I said with Tom Perkins, Bonnie also has the excellent, excellent judgment to live in District 12. So, we're going to miss you, Bonnie.
That's great. Thank you, Mr. Cadane.
Yeah, but I'm going to get her to retire in District 9. Bonnie, I just got to thank you for all you have done for me over my 7 years. There hadn't been a time that I didn't call on you and you come down and you always solve my problems. I'm to tell AC you got some big shoes to fill there. And we are going to miss you immensely. I don't know what it's going to be like without you. But one thing I do want to tell you, congratulations on your retirement. And I hope you have a great rest of your life. And don't be you come back and see us every now and then. But we appreciate all you've done for the city of Dallas. Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you, Ms. Ellen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Meter, congratulations on retiring. The city of Dallas is a wonderful place to work. But let me tell you, as a retired City of Dallas employee, it's an even more wonderful place to retire from because they drop that check in your account while you're asleep. All you have to do is roll over, check your phone, and that check is there. Congratulations.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Making money while you sleep. Making money while you sleep. Not a bad deal. Bonnie, at the end of the day, your professionalism and a class act. I mean, that's what I take away. Professionalism, class act. So enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Any words of wisdom?
I would like to say that the city of Dallas has been a fabulous place to work. I've been given so many opportunities to do fun and interesting projects. It's been a delight to work with all of you and with all of your predecessors. So thank you. I will miss you all.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And we'll take item 32.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The following statement applies to items number 32 through 40. By making and seconding these motions, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. These items, therefore, will require 2 seconds. Agenda item number 32 and 33 need to be considered collectively. Item 32 is authorize a development agreement with Centurion Acquisitions LP for eligible project costs, street and utility improvements in an amount not to exceed $3 million, plus an economic development TIF grant in an amount not to exceed $43,500,000 for a total not to exceed $46,500,000 for redevelopment of the buildings addressed as 1914 Commerce Street and 1954 Commerce Street. And properties addressed as 2002 Commerce Street, 210, 300, and 308 South Harwood Street, and 2003 Jackson Street from revenues accruing to tax increment financing reinvestment zone 11. Item 33 is resolution declaring the intent of tax increment financing district reinvestment zone number 11 to reimburse Centurion Acquisitions LP up to $46,500,000 for project costs pursuant to the development agreement with Centurion Acquisitions LP. Again, these items require 2 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. I intend a motion. Mr. Kingston.
Mr. Kingston. No.
Mr. Kingston.
I know you're going to do a motion to approve, right?
No, second
for you. Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Mr. Atkins, if you want to say something.
I just want to say, and I know Mr. Kingston, I'm going to pass it right to him, be very brief. Mr. Kingston, this is your district. This hotel is one of the best hotels in the world. I had my prom there in 1974, so it came back alive. So, Mr. Kingsley, you're going to take charge. I think it's an eyesore, but I think it's going to connect the docks from the art district to the farmers market, back downtown, and back to the convention center hotel. This is something that has been an eyesore to the city of Dallas. It's great to have something great on that side of town, right next to the farmers market. Take away, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
If anyone has video of Mayor Pro Tem Atkins dancing at his prom, we'll pay good money for that. we've talked about this project in a lot of places, and I'm very pleased to bring it forward today. I would point out that the money that the city is putting forward is increment financing. It's tax increment that will be generated by the project. It's not a direct subsidy to a private developer. And this ownership group has had to be very creative about building the funding stack for this project. It actually was looked at by several really good developers here in town and declared impossible, which I suspect helped with the purchase price. I hope so anyway. I appreciate Mr. Moietti's persistence in doing this project. It uses some very creative historic tax credits that will also ensure that the architectural importance of this Dahl building will be preserved and that the City of Dallas can enjoy one of its great buildings once again. It also is the last piece of the puzzle on Main Street Garden. The other three sides of that block have been redeveloped and have excellent plans in place. We're off to the races in the Main Street Garden sector. There's talk of moving another graduate program into the Old Main Library, which I think would enhance the vibrancy of that area by bringing more graduate students to downtown. I'm looking very forward to this thing. I will tell you, economic development has looked at this, and so people smarter than me can be relied on for this statement, but I am reliably informed that this project has the stability and the capital that it needs to actually be brought to a conclusion, and I personally cannot wait to have a drink at the bar at this hotel again. I think the last time I did was in 2000 at Texas OU.
Thank you.
Am I setting up the house? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I will drink with you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I serve on the Economic Development Committee, Vice Chairman. I'm very much in favor of this project. As Mr. Kingston said, this is one of the last pieces to the puzzle, and I'd love to see this hotel come back, you know, in its power and glory once upon a time. I think the last time it was open, I, too, was the Texas OU standing right there on the street, and a guy with cowboy boots come up and kicked me in the shin for some reason, I think. So I kicked him in the shin. Maybe that's what it was. But anyway, it's time to bring this hotel back. The Main Street Garden is a beautiful, wonderful place, and this is going to fit in with everything else that we're doing there with UNT, the future law school, and all of the above. So I commend everybody that's been a part of that. Carl Z, I know you spent a lot of time on that. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. I just was wondering when Mr. Callahan talked about that kicking the man in the shin. Was that one of the cold cases that we're still looking at? He's, oh, yeah, okay, that's okay.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda items number 34 through 38 need to be considered collectively. Item 34 is authorize a new markets tax credit transaction between the Dallas Development Fund and its subsidiaries, J.P. Morgan Chase and its subsidiaries, and Fraser Revitalization, Inc. and its affiliates for the construction of a medical clinic located at 4600 Zion Road. Item 35 is authorize a 90% real property tax abatement agreement for 10 years with Hatcher at Zion Title Holding Company for a new medical clinic facility located at 4600 Zion Road in Dallas. 36 is authorized a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement with Fraser Revitalization, Inc., or Hatcher at Sign Title Holding Company, in an amount up to $2 million associated with the development of a medical facility to be constructed at 4600 Sign Road. 37 is authorized an amendment to certain conditions contained in Section 3 of Resolution Number 070522, which established a forgivable loan to Fraser Revitalization, Inc. related to land acquisition to number one, add medical to the allowed project type, number two, clarify language related to the job requirements, and number three, clarify that the date established for a certificate of occupancy is March 31, 2015. Number 38 is authorized number one, a special economic development grant agreement with Fraser Revitalization, Inc., or a project-specific affiliated or subsidiary controlled by Fraser Revitalization, Inc., in an amount not to exceed $200,000 to fund and or retire indebtedness associated with land acquisition related to the construction of a new medical clinic in the South Dallas Fair Park area. And number two, an increase in appropriations in the amount of $200,000. These items require 2 seconds.
Thank you. Ms. Davis is not here today. But I'll let Mr. Atkins.
I'm going to make a motion to approve.
I'm on second.
We've got a motion in 2 seconds. It is a very important project for the City of Dallas, as far as I'm concerned. And I appreciate Parkland working in concert with many local citizens and folks outside the neighborhood also. Mr. Atkins.
Yes, and great, Mayor. You just sum it up. Number one, you know, it's been a pretty, you know, past that when the city of Dallas, you know, gave us like clinics, and we no longer have clinics, and it's great to have Parkland Hospital come back in that part of town, especially in southern Dallas, to have a clinic, have a partnership in that area. It's a great area. Matter of fact, I was raised up in there, Dwayne. I think you made my neighbor down Mill Place, you know. So it's something that revitalized Fraser Court. It's something that the community needed. But it's great to show great partnership with the city and Parkland Hospital, everybody coming together to make sure we do have a great quality of life, especially with health care. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know Mr. Atkins and Mr. Caraway will recall, I don't know if other colleagues will recall, that this is a project that has had fits and starts with another medical institution. About 12 months ago, I believe, Commissioner John Wiley Price stepped up, took over the leadership of this effort at the county, and Parkland has now made this possible. The county is putting in several million dollars. I believe it's about $19 million. And so I want to say thank you to the county and particularly to Commissioner Price for making this happen. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And I was just reflecting on a statement that Mayor Pro Tem Atkins made. He said that I was his neighbor on Mills Place, and which I'm a little older than Councilman Atkins, so that means you're my neighbor. I'm the one on the front porch on Mills Place with the ice cream. I got that first. No, but respectfully, this is very, very important. The history of this particular area is one portion of history that's hard to match. There was a theater that was in this area. These were projects and where people lived and families grew up. The Fraser Elementary School, Wahoo Park, where baseball, Bill Blair, the late Bill Blair, and all of them came in from that area. To see the revitalization of what is going on now, and to know that health care is one of the most important things that communities need to have. And again, hats off to Commissioner Price, as Ms. Hill has alluded to, for his support. But a big thanks to Parkland. And a major thanks to Councilwoman Davis. Let me just say that in her absence. But Parkland, you guys have stepped up to the plate, and we appreciate you hitting a home run for the community and the city of Dallas. Looking forward for you doing even more things. Want to extend an invitation, invite you over in the Lancaster corridor. It's certainly an opportunity even there for Parkland to shine. But the light is all on Fraser, and our thanks go to you, Parkland, and Ms. Davis, and everyone involved. So thank you very much.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Agenda item number 39 is authorized number 1, a specific economic development loan agreement with Two Partners Retail Eateries, LLC, in the amount of $100,000 to partially underwrite the cost of development of an 11,000-square-foot structure to be located at 1441 Robert B. Column in Dallas. Item requires 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Atkins.
A motion approved.
Second.
And this two partners, I mean, it's a blessing. You know, we think about business and opportunities that bankers and banks, companies here in the city of Dallas. And it's amazing that when you have a project going on this side, this magnitude, that there was a bank, I ain't going to call the name in advertising, but they was not even in the city of Dallas. They came to the rescue and said, this is a great project in Southern Dallas, and we want to finance this type of project. And this is a project we need to spruce up the development around Fair Park. This project is a project not just on retail, it's also food, that people would have a place to go outside of the fair. And I think Ms. Davis did a great job to put two partners together, been a company who's been here over 30 years, who've been working, everyone know Two Partners Barbecue. But it's great for economic developers to pull a project. And I know, Mary, that you would represent, you could not attend the ribbon cutting. You had another engagement, but your staff came there and were very amazed. And I just got to thank Lee McKinney for speaking over there on the behalf of the City of Dallas Economic Development and said that this is a great opportunity. If we're going to build Southern Dallas, this is what we need to do to build Southern Dallas, because the Fairport is an engine that brings economic development to Southern Dallas. And this is one of the first start that we are very creative to make sure things happen in South Dallas.
Thank you, Ms. Carey.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Atkins, for once again giving the accolades to Ms. Davis for her hard work. But let me share those accolades and say that, Mayor, you know, when we got to talking and you started talking of Grow South and we looked at these small businesses, we cannot just sit here today and pat on the back the Statler Hilton Hotel, in which, you know, that's major. It is major and most significant for the city. But in our neighborhoods, these small businesses, such as a Two Partners, such as Rudy's Chicken, in which we'll be opening on May the 1st. Let me make sure everyone understands that. And we're going to get invitations to that opening. But when you look at these small businesses, and you look at the significant impact that they have on the immediate community, and we're talking about growing and changing and bringing and beautification of having the beautification of neighborhoods and communities and then making them safe. It starts with things such as the Two Partners, such as the Rudies and the Friendlies and all those different neighborhood incubator businesses. And then they grow jobs. And then they begin to get the attitude of participating, keeping the neighborhood clean, being more engaged with our meetings and being more engaged with their children's education. And that's what this is all about. So at the end of the day, when you look at it, I say hats off to Two Partners. Trust me, they do have some good barbecue, some good catfish, some good food. It's evident because I'm still popping out of these suits. That's probably why I was late this morning trying to find something to wear. Couldn't wear none of my clothes. But at the end of the day, we want to say thank you to these people, and we want to help them. And we want to hold them accountable for making sure that they maintain a quality project. And lastly, what I will say, the more we continue, Ms. Hill and Mr. Atkins, and to this council, to show these smaller businesses that if they get their stuff together, then we're there to help them. An opportunity awaits them. The more we'll find other businesses picking up the bootstraps and doing best quality things and having super retail. So thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Item number 40.
Agenda item number 40 is authorize an amendment to the Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement with Jefferson Monument, LLC, associated with a redevelopment of Jefferson Tower located at 301 through 375 West Jefferson Boulevard and 304 and 314 through 328 Sunset Avenue in Dallas. The item requires 2 seconds, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Griggs.
Move approval.
Second, Scott.
Okay.
There is Scott.
I was going to say it's a great opportunity for Jefferson and continuing all the growth south, especially Jefferson, which is the Main Street Oak Cliff. And so thank you very much, Jim Lake. Thank you for coming down today.
Thank you. We've got a lot of work to do, and we've made progress, but we even need to work harder this next year. And I think it can be an exciting thing in Oak Cliff. Any other questions? Mr. Atkins, I'm sorry.
I just want to say, you know, if you've never been down Jefferson, and I think it's a great opportunity to, we talk about complete street, I think it'll be a walkable neighborhood in the future. They can be able to walk, eat, sleep, entertain in the same neighborhood. And thank Jim Lake and thank Scott for bringing this forward. Scott, I know you're doing a great job. Thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo.
You can see some of it if you participate in the parade on May 3rd.
Okay. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Carraway would like to be recognized.
Okay.
Mr. Carraway.
Thank you. Is this our final agenda?
Yes.
We don't
have final agenda.
Mayor, Mr. Backus, Jasper Backus is here. He's from his nursing home to get here in his wheelchair. He came down to speak this morning, and he has to go back for his treatments. I would wish that we could yield to allow him respectfully to speak now so he can go back.
I'm sorry. So he missed this morning.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Mr. Backus? Wheel on over there. And I don't know what the topic is.
He's probably going to be upset with you.
Sad, Mike. And while Mr. Backus is here, Mr. Backus has maintained the corner of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X with his business for more than 50 years. He's been there. With his cleaning business for more than 50 years.
Good morning, Mr. Backus.
Good morning.
You may proceed.
It is indeed a pleasure for us to come here this morning and thank you all for having us here. My son is really going to do all the talking because he's heading up this Backus Foundation. We have some important things that we are trying to help the overall community here. And that's been my little baby for years, to help the community. And the city has always worked with us. And we're asking y'all to assist us in what we are trying to do. So I'm going to let my son take over, Jasper Backus III.
Ms. Backus, you can go right up there. The microphone right there.
Thank y'all for having us. We know we have a short time to speak, so we're going to get right to it. The Backus Foundation is presenting the America's Most Wanted Talent Contest here in Dallas, Texas. And we're about to start going to all the different schools to find out who has the most, the best rapper, singer, dancer, or comedian. We're going to do something similar like the Apollo show that they had in New York City. And we're going to be doing this to assist us in raising funds to help stop mass incarceration. And we believe that it's going to be a very powerful thing to do to also explore talent here in the community and stop them from using their talent and taking it to the streets and bringing violence. So we want to try to bring a center stage, which will be located off of Camp Wisdom and Polk Street at the new event center called First Down Event Center. And it's right behind Walgreens. And starting April the 27th, we will be signing people up to register for $25, and we'll be giving away $1,000 cash. And so we just ask that y'all would assist us in this and pray for us as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Backus, for coming down from your nursing home. All right, meeting is recessed till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Mr. Gonzalez, did you want to say something?
Yes, I did. There is a press conference that is going to be held at Trinity Groves at noon. We'll have a van available for anybody who wants to go in the van. Leaving at 11:45.
See you at 1. Thank you. Mr. Cadet?
Will we have time to go to that news conference and get back in?
Yes. Yeah, the conference will start right at noon, so we'll be back. Thank you.
Recess at 11:08.
I think we have a quorum, so it's 1:06 p.m. We will reconvene our meeting, and we will take up our afternoon zoning cases. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your consent zoning docket consists of agenda items 41 through 44. Those items will be read into the record and speakers called up to the podium if desired. Agenda item 41 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1931 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store 3,500 square feet or less on property on the north side of Ann Arbor Avenue, east of South Marcellus Avenue. Agenda item 42 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an R-5A single-family district on property south of the terminus of South North Lake Road, south of Beltline Road. Agenda item 43 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1966 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store 3,500 square feet or less on property south of Great Trinity Forest Way Loop 12, east of Oklahoma Union Drive. Agenda item 44 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for R-1ACA single-family district uses on property on the north side of Park Lane, west of Preston Road. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. We had a motion and a second. Any discussion? Ms. Alonzo.
Can you just clarify for me the numbers only, please?
41 through 44.
Okay. Yeah, we've got a second over here.
Got
all right. Hearing no other discussion, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 45 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store greater than 3,500 square feet on property on the southeast corner of Moberly Lane and South Buckner Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 12 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? Ma'am, if you'll please come forward. I'm sorry, if you'll go ahead and come down to the podium.
Why don't you reread to her while she's coming down?
So agenda item 45 relates to a specific use permit on property on the southeast corner of Moberly Lane and South Buckner Boulevard. No? Are there any speakers? No. Ma'am, if you'll please come forward. You are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, as well as state your position on the item. Direct your comments to Mayor Rawlings, please. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Pamela Craig. I reside at 2410 Taylor Street in Dallas, Texas. I am the representative on this case, and if the council has any questions, we are here to answer any of those questions that y'all may have.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Atkins.
Yes, I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Planning Commission.
Second.
We had a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement applies to agenda items 46 and 47.
Yeah.
By making and seconding these motions, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Agenda item 46 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for MU2 mixed-use district uses on property on the east corner of Forest Park Road and Beaumont Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 38 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Medrano.
Yeah, I move to close this public hearing and approve item number 46.
2 seconds, please.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 47 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 1241 for a utility or government installation other than listed on property on the west line of Irving Boulevard, north of Quaker Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 60 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area of the request. We received 5 replies in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Seconds, please.
Ms. Medrano, or is this Ms. Alonzo?
Move for approval.
Second.
I'm sorry. It's in six?
Six.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So we got a motion. We got a second. We got a second.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any discussion? Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. Could I ask staff a question about the landscaping? So there were never any trees there, or there were trees there, and because the whole site is paved is what the background material says. So were there ever trees there and we took them down, or?
If there were trees, they've been gone for a while now.
For quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what changes are we asking specifically to our Article 10 requirements?
Mainly it is just adding some extra trees along the...
Adding some trees, period, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And part of that is because there's a utility easement. We couldn't have trees in that part, so we have put them where we think that they will be able
to... So that long, narrow part, there is the utility easement, right? I can't get it to come up on my computer. That's why I'm trying to do it from memory. 47?
Yes, I believe it. That's the driveway. The long, thin one is a driveway.
Oh, so where is the utility easement on this picture?
Here's the long part. I believe it's right there.
Right, okay.
There's a little hatch mark there.
Well, I can't see it because I'm a little hatch mark. So that's the driveway.
Okay.
Oh, there it is. Okay, it finally decided to. Okay, so that's the hatch portion. That's where the utility easement is. Okay. So is that the only exception we're making, is we can't put anything on the utility easement?
Yeah, there's also there's no trees in the on the site as well. So they're just along the perimeter and then right there at the edge of the parking.
Okay. And so that is the revised and alternative landscaping plan.
Yes, because the whole property is paved, and so instead of having them take up the paving to plant trees, we're putting it along the perimeter.
Okay. I just don't want us to be making a lot of exceptions to our own ordinances because it's our property. That's kind of the point I was trying to get at.
Sure.
I think you have good reasons for making the exceptions that you are, but I just wanted to know the extent of them. Thank you for the information. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that was your final agenda item, and there are no afternoon speakers.
We'll adjourn at 1:15 p.m. Thank you. Bye-bye.